Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Hebrews and Romans make clear that God's intention is to have genuine sons from among men. But God is a divine being, while we are merely human beings. This presents a major obstacle to the accomplishment of God's purpose. The inner working of the divine life within us is our focus on today's Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee. We have selected excerpts of his spoken ministry on our program today, and we also have Gary Kaiser in our studio to be part of this classic life study of Hebrews. Gary, welcome back to the broadcast.
Thank you, Matt. Happy to be here.
Gary, this program today focuses on 2 very inward experiences of light. This is very much in contrast to the more common view that our behavior as Christians is the primary factor that God is concerned with, isn't it?
Matt, I feel that this is a very critical point for every genuine Christian to see. We are absolutely off when we try to live our lives simply according to the teachings that we receive, or according to some kind of miracles that are happening in our lives. The matter of behavior is a very important matter, but the issue is not so much what we do as it is who is doing it. And in this, we have to consider, who is a Christian? What is a Christian anyway? A Christian is a believer in Christ, but there's something more than that. If any man is in Christ, the Bible tells us, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, they've all become new. So here we have a look at what is operating in a believer. And actually, we see 2 aspects. One is something of a law of life that is operating spontaneously within the believer, affecting how he thinks, how he feels, what he decides. The second thing is the person of Christ himself as the life-giving spirit, now within our spirit, operating within us, giving us a sense what he wants to do.
Amen.
And we become then one with him in what he is doing in a normal way. So the Christian life is a life that operates within us. Not a life that requires, but a life that supplies.
Thanks, Gary. Let's go to Witness Lee for today's life study.
First of all, I would call your attention to one thing. That is, the Bible tells us God's eternal intention is to get many sins, making all the sins the same as he is. I must, first of all, make this point so clear to you all that you may be impressed that God's intention is to have sins, and these sins should be the same as he is in life and in nature. But we have to know he is divine and we are human. How could the human beings be the divine sins of God. You have to solve this problem. To do this, firstly, he took a step to get himself incarnate. By incarnation, he put on the human nature. He was God, divine, having no human nature. But he became incarnated. By being incarnated, he put on the human nature. So what? So he became a man. Yet, while he was a man, he was still the very God. While he was a human being, at the same time, he still was the very God. Our God, the very Creator, the unique God, became a man with flesh and blood. As far as the human nature goes, he is exactly the same as we are. Before making us to be like him, he became to be like us. Isn't this wonderful?
Amen.
Then, in the flesh, with the human nature, he went to the cross. And he was crucified there. And he was buried. And he was resurrected. In resurrection, he took another step as a human being, as the last Adam. He became a life-giving spirit.
Amen.
Up to this point, it is altogether a mystery. Right after his resurrection, on the same day in the night, he came back to his disciples. And his disciples were all closed in one room. And all the doors were tightly closed because they were afraid of the Jews. And out of a sudden, to their surprise, Jesus Christ was there. Now, my question is, many of you are scholars, try your best, please, to answer my question. The doors were not open. And such a Jesus with the bone and the flesh, a physical body, got into that room. Tell me, how could this be? He could get into that locked room because he was a spirit. Yet, this spirit still possesses bones and flesh. And at the same time, he was worshipped, called by Thomas, the very Lord and the very God.
Amen.
This is the very Savior, the very Jesus who came into you at the time when you believed in him and called on his name. Is such a wonderful one. This one, this wonderful spirit, consisting of divinity and humanity. He came into your very being. He is not only the Savior, not only the Lord, he is the wonderful spirit with two natures, divine nature and human nature, coming into your very being. Now, such a one lives in you.
Gary, what is this all about?
It's really marvelous, isn't it, Matt? You get into this and you begin to realize we are very special people. Every believer has to realize he is a God-man. Something has happened in his being.
Amen.
Here we see that it's much more than just redemption. It's a matter of God's intention that he would have sons the same as he is. And just stop and consider a little bit, to be the same as God. How can that be? And here we see that incarnation was God's answer to that question. He became a man. The book of John tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then that the Word became flesh. That's a tremendous statement. The Word became flesh. God became a man. And then this man lived on this earth a normal human life in oneness with the triune God, with God himself. In oneness with God himself. This wonderful person, the man, Jesus, died an all-inclusive death, buried, and was raised from the dead, became the life-giving spirit. This wonderful God-man, God mingled with man, passed through a process, and in resurrection became now the Spirit who can come into our spirit.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen.
What a grace and what a glory that God now is not only available to us as the one in the heavens, but is a part of us as the God-man, Jesus, now as the Spirit, living his life out through us. The last Adam became the life-giving Spirit. In so doing, he didn't leave his manhood. He is still a man. He still met with his disciples as a man, yet a mysterious man who was both visible and invisible. He is the Spirit to get into us, and he is the man, Jesus, still manifest to us.
Wonderful. Thanks, Gary. Let's go back to Witness Lee and continue the life study.
The Lord Jesus came into you. He brought two things into you. I don't mean only two things, but I mean two main things. Number one, he brought his nature, the nature of his wonderful being into you. Why? Because he came into you to be your life. So he brought his nature into you and the nature of life into you. We all have to realize before we got saved, before we got regenerated, we had only that poor, low nature of the fallen humanity. But when we got saved, when we got regenerated, a higher, even the highest nature has been added into our being.
Amen.
Now, in our being, or in your being, there is such a wonderful thing that is the wonderful nature of the wonderful person. A little babe, as long as it's living, you don't need to teach. That little babe knows anything sweet, he or she swallows. Anything bitter, he or she, that swallowing or that spewing is nothing due to the knowledge. That is due to what? To the taste of nature. Every little babe has a human nature. And the human nature doesn't take anything bitter. We all have to realize, regardless how young, how babyish, even you are in Christ, as long as you are one in Christ, you do have such a life nature. I have to say, this is the divine and the uplifted human nature. A wonderful nature has been brought into your being. This function by the nature of life is just the working of the law of life. Every life has a law. And the law of every life is the innate ability
of that life. It is something by birth. It is something spontaneous, something automatic, something constant and instant. Not one exception among us. Before we got saved, we did a lot of things not so good. Drinking, taking dope, going to movies, dancing, and smoking. We did a lot of things like this. Not one exception. Right after we got saved, you started to have something within you. You still might go to movie, but something new troubled you. At least disagree with you. The taste didn't feel so good. All of us have had this kind of experiences. That is the function of the very life nature which Jesus brought into being. And that function is that the working of the law of life. No need of any teaching, no need of anyone speaking, instructing, no need. You just have the nature of life functioning within your being. This is God's economy.
Gary, this portion gave words to the common experience of all genuine believers. Apart from our being taught or exhorted to act a certain way, there's something spontaneously operating within our being from the time we first become Christians that has a regulating influence on us. What is this new sense that we acquire?
Well, when this wonderful Spirit came into us, Christ Himself brought into us His life nature. He's a real God, and He's a genuine man. So when He brought the life nature, He brought into us not only the divine nature, but also an uplifted human nature. That's a wonderful news to us because we now have a proper nature within us. By the fall, our nature was just absolutely wrong. The way we did things, the way we felt things, how we spoke of others, what our thoughts were of others, all the kinds of conflicts within humanity, these things demonstrate a fallen human nature. But He brought an uplifted human nature. He brought the divine nature with the divine love and the divine desires. But He also brought this man nature, a man who is one with God. So this life that He brought into us, this nature that He brought into us has its own law. Every life has a law. We could use illustrations like the peach tree always has the law of bearing peaches. But in this uplifted humanity, there is a law that is focused on the proper human living, not by teaching, not by exhortation, but by an inward moving, an inward reality.
Gary, why do we abandon this kind of feeling and we go back to an outward response to teaching and outward exhorting from other people?
I think that tradition has somewhat warped our view of life and given us a desire to live a life according to a proper kind of humanity defined by teaching, rather than paying attention to the inward living life that is operating in us. So we try very hard to live a life that's pleasing to God, and we don't pay attention to this sense of life that is within us.
Gary, let's go back to Witness Lee. We're going to introduce another item now into the mix, the anointing.
Now, Christ brought in another thing. He brought in a person. He Himself is a person. Don't you realize today you have a person in you?
Amen.
a living one, all the time bothering. His father is the best father. The most wonderful, profitable bothering. And we all have to know this person, the Bible gives to this person a special term. It calls this person the anointing. It is the anointing, yet this anointing abides in you. Like a person. He abides in you. He makes his abode in you. The anointing. And this anointing teaches. When I know he's a person, because he teaches. Could anything but a person teach you? We do have something that is called the anointing teaching us in our very being. You all have to realize when the Lord Jesus teaches us within us, his teaching is just like the anointing. Amen. That gives you such a comfortable, soothing sensation. Now, I would illustrate in this way. You went into the department stores, you pick up many items, they within you would not allow you to take. The inner taste wouldn't take. You didn't have the taste. And that taste came from what? That taste came from the very wonderful nature within you. What is this? This is the working of the love of life.
Amen.
Then, there's another thing. That is, we not only have such a nature, but also a person in us. Whether this morning I should go to the store, or tomorrow morning, or another day, this is not according to the working of the nature. This is by the teaching of the anointing. A living person in me. All the time working, living, moving, and he's moving, he's living, he's working, is his teaching. This is why we have to open up ourselves to him.
Amen.
Lord, I'm one with you.
Amen.
And Lord, I do know you are one with me.
Amen.
Lord, would you go shopping this morning? Well, I'm looking to him, fellowshipping with him. I'm now enjoying his anointing. Under his anointing, I know what should I do. If I'm going to take a step that he wouldn't take, surely the anointing stops. The soothing, the comforting is cut. I have to say, Lord, I am with you. You don't feel so good to go. I would not go. Right away, the comforting, the anointing comes back again. This is the normal living of this wonderful one. Neither teaching nor anything miraculous, but so normal. So I surely don't need any teaching. These two wonderful things are more than adequate. The wonderful nature of the life of Christ and the very anointing of the person of Christ, these two things are more than adequate for me to live a normal Christian life.
Gary, this description of the anointing within was interesting. God's nature within us operates according to the law of life, but his person within us is this divine anointing. These may seem quite similar. Are they distinct from one another?
Well, yes, I would say they're distinct, Matt. The law of life is something that becomes a part of us. It is that life that is now our life that is functioning, is operating simply according to what it is. It is not a matter of teaching. It's not a matter of exhorting. It's certainly not a matter of being told how to be. We just have a certain feeling. We have a certain kind of love. We have a certain kind of desire that we didn't have before. But the teaching of the anointing is now this person who's come into us, the Lord Jesus, as the life-giving Spirit. He is a part of us, but yet distinct from us, and He is teaching us. He is speaking to us. He is moving in us as we live this life out. So we may have a certain sense of life, but that sense of life may not be sufficient to overcome our old nature, which is still operating in us. And then the teaching of the anointing comes in and speaks to us as the person of Christ, now moving us to follow what we already feel within. So we have both the change of our nature and we have the person of Christ living in us, moving in us, operating in us. I appreciate the word in Philippians chapter 2, where Paul exhorts us to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. And then he says the reason for that is it is God who operates in you, both the willing and the working for His good pleasure. So God's operating in us is both in terms of this law of life that has been dispensed into us and in terms of this person who now lives in us. Praise the Lord. We have such a portion.
Amen. Gary, that's a very good description of the distinction. It's not us trying to imagine or figure out somehow what Jesus would do or even look in the Bible to try to determine it. We really have the living person of Christ moving and leading in us in what He would do, don't we?
Praise Him.
Amen. Well, Gary, thanks for coming in today.
Thank you for inviting me.
On behalf of Gary Kaiser, this is Matt Miller. Thanks for listening today.